You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 2. Brought to you in part by Alpine Credits. Own your home and need a loan? With Alpine Credits, homeowners get approved. An afternoon drive home like no other.
Bryce Harper will eventually sign for $350 million or more. I'd rather cancel the league than see one of my precious owners stroke that check.
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050.
All right, Ray's coming up live from Scotiabank in about 5 minutes. Leafs Capitals tonight. You're watching on TSN 4. We're teeing it up throughout the afternoon. Nazem Kadri will not play. William Nylander is going to stay in the middle of the ice, which is where he played for the final two periods a couple of nights ago in St. Louis. So we'll see what Ray has to say about that.
Mark Mullen, 31st birthday. He's giving us a gift of music today, I'll tell you.
That was outstanding. Yeah. You got to love the hip out of the gate. Well, we were talking about that yesterday. Yesterday was the 20th anniversary of Scotiabank. Uh-huh. And we didn't put a ton of thought into it. It was just going to be kind of something we brought up and then moved on. And we started asking ourselves, you know, what is our most memorable moment at the ACC? And for me, I think it would be watching the Tragically Hip on that final tour at the ACC.
That was 1B, maybe 1A, 1B.
Well, you have a different experience. You actually played.
Yeah, I went to the Stanley Cup Finals in that building. Right. Martin Jelena scored a big goal, and we had that trophy. I sat and drank a Bud Light on the bus beside that Eastern Conference trophy. So that's got to be my favorite memory.
Prince of Wales trophy.
Right. I mean, you're coming at it from a very different experience, which is understandable. I would think you'd have even
Wouldn't
more
that be the King Daddy Topper
of
for
course.
You?
Of course. But even like after that would be your first goal as a Leaf in the building. Then, you know, the first time you played in the building, you know, if you were a player and you actually got to perform at the rink.
The Hips tour, final tour, was right after that.
It's been years now. Was that 2016, I think it was. So this will be 3 years this summer.
That's crazy.
Did you watch the documentary?
Yeah, it was really well done.
We all saw it in different places. I saw it in Calgary, but you know, you watch the documentary and you see what he went through. It's unbelievable.
I found it crazy how he didn't know any of the songs. No, like he just relearned them,
mm-hmm. And how he had the energy to be up there and do it. You know, because they were interviewing his doctors and they're all like, I don't see how he's going to do this. Uh-huh. Like, there's no way we can't tell him not to do it, but we have to go to him and say, it's in our opinion, you shouldn't do it. Like, we're basically malpractice if we don't. And he just said, I don't care. I'm going through. I mean, he knew the end was coming anyway at that point, Gord Downie, but that was a really special moment. That was a really, really cool tour. And, you got to the show in Calgary, you said.
He played.
You were to a couple of them, didn't you? You were in London and one in Toronto.
Yeah,
that was awesome.
I might have been. I think there was a couple in Toronto, if I'm not mistaken.
I played three nights in Toronto.
Yeah, I was two in Toronto and one in London. It was.
Yeah, it was in Hamilton as well. Then the final one was in Kingston, which was amazing. Televised. And the numbers on TV, like I think CBC, was it CBC or did CTV have that?
CBC did it, and they did it during the Olympics, because that was when the Rio Olympics was on, and Ron McLean was down in Rio, and they had all the athletes there watching it from the studio. It was unbelievable.
And the numbers were like absurd. Yeah. Like it was absurd the amount of people that tuned in to watch that final concert. Anyway, that's, again, we're looking at almost 2 years, or 3 years, almost three years in the rear view. It's crazy. I saw today Sports Illustrated came out with their top 100 Blue Jays. Any guess how many, or top 100 players in Major League Baseball. Any guess how many Blue Jays are on the list?
Well, I was about to say there's been 100 top Blue Jays.
The top 100 Blue Jays, Sports Illustrated. You wonder why, you know, the magazine department is in trouble.
So how many Blue Jays on the top 100?
How many Blue Jays?
So right now the top 100?
Top 100
in the Major League?
Leading into the 2019 season.
I'll say one. Marcus Stroman.
You got one and it's Marcus Stroman. Craig?
Is Vladdy in there?
There is one Blue Jay in the top 100, and he is number 100.
Vladimir Guerrero.
Vladdy Guerrero Jr.
I got it.
Which basically explains the whole season we're walking into. Vladdy, who hasn't stepped foot on a Major League diamond
and
yet.
And he won't to start the season.
And he won't until mid-April, is already in the top 100, and that might not be giving him enough credit. Because we've been through these before with our top 50. Remember when McDavid was coming in?
Yep.
And Craig, I think you had him in the top 50.
I did.
I couldn't put him in, and I don't know why I didn't in retrospect, but I was like, nah, I don't know. He hasn't played yet. I'm going to give it to 50 guys who have played in the league. And then even though he had the shoulder injury, you're like, this guy's a top 50 player. Like that's, and Matthews, the same thing. You're like, this guy's top 50 player, and Vladdy is going to be a top 100 player. By the end of the season, we'll look back, and I fully expect that. But so he deserves that kind of love. But the fact that there isn't another Blue Jay, and I don't know who it would be, who the next guy up would be, Justin Smoke?
Well,
it's not Stroman, I don't think.
Well, it's Aaron Sanchez if he performs.
If he performs, but he's 3 years removed from performing.
But go back 2 years, 3 years. Donaldson would have been on that list. Sanchez would have been on that list.
I mean, Edwin, Bautista.
I mean, it would have been a pretty impressive list.
Absolutely. When they were rock stars in 2015, Tulowitzki, when he was healthy, would have been on that list. Russell Martin might have been on that list. You know, David Price obviously would have been on that list. Yeah. And it's just been a complete free fall. So I think Sports Illustrated is essentially detailing how this whole season is going to play out. It's Vladdy and then a bunch of other people. And the truth is there's other kids who you should be excited about too, but Vladdy has taken up so much of the oxygen. Like Bo Bichette's going to get up here at some point. He's going to be a player. And this Biggio kid, I think, is going to be a player. But it's all Vladdy. Like every day down in Dunedin, it's this guy steps into the cage and you've got to watch him.
So let me ask you this. Is there similarities between where the Blue Jays are at now and where the Maple Leafs were at 4 years ago?
Probably. Yeah, and Vladdy's Austin Matthews. Yeah. And, you know,
and
do they have a Mitch? Do they have a Nylander?
Mitch Marner, and you're looking at the youth of the group.
That's what you're hoping for. Yeah. The only difference is, you know, they all came in together. When Matthews showed up, they made the playoffs that year. The Blue Jays aren't making the playoffs. Right. But your hope is in 2 or 3 years that can be replicated just with the team down the street. That's the hope. Matthews will be playing tonight, of course. As we know, the Washington Capitals are in town taking on the Maple Leafs. Let's head down to Scotiabank now. Game can be seen on TSN4. Joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline, here's Ray Ferraro. How you doing, Ray?
I'm good. How goes, boys?
Oh, we're doing pretty well. Yesterday, after we got you on, the Charlie Coyle deal went down. Coyle going from Minnesota to Boston. How do you feel about that for the Bruins?
It certainly, of course, depends on which Charlie Coyle comes to play. I think he'll do well though in Boston. Get out of where you've got the same eyes scrutinizing you all the time, and in Minnesota, maybe certainly a fresh start back to home. He gives them some versatility. I kind of have always liked them in the middle, and I think that's where they're going to start him. But they give up a prospect in Donato, which is fine. He wasn't playing for them, and the Bruins are not necessarily in an all-win-now mode. But, man, I think this certainly makes them a better team.
Yeah. Well, like you pointed out, Donato isn't on the roster, so you're not taking anything away from the guys who are going on the ice every night, and that team is on another heater. I mean, it's deja vu again. They won in a shootout in Vegas last night. They've won 7 in a row. Remember, they did it last year, right? Like, the calendar turned, and they just said, we're not losing.
Well, they've got a couple of really, they've got some great pieces to be able to go on one of those runs, and now that their defense is healthy, that's certainly a big part of it. But how do you go on a run like this without David Pastrnak? They won 5 straight without him.
No kidding.
It's 7. Is it 7 without Pastrnak or 5 without him?
I'm pretty sure it's as soon as he was injured, 7 in a row.
Like crazy that you take that player out of the lineup and they don't skip a beat. And they're a good team. And what I would be concerned about if I were watching this from the Leafs perspective is that if they, they make the deal for Coyle, what happens if Boston goes into that, really deep prospect pool and pulls out a Panarin or a Stone? What if they're not done? What if they come up with one of those guys?
Well, we were talking, Ray, yesterday. Is Toronto should be confident enough in their team that they just got to go and play better than the Boston Bruins if ultimately that's going to be the matchup. Don't worry about Charlie Coyle or if they add somebody else. Like a John Tavares has got to outplay Bergeron. Austin Matthews has got to go in there and get the puck from Zdeno Chara. They can't worry about this and say, what are you going to do if Boston ultimately does this?
No, I think the biggest mistake a manager would make, and Craig could speak to this, is that if one team makes a move, now you're going to go and counteract the move and change what you are. this team is already built in Toronto. Like, I hear people saying, oh, they got to add some size and strength. Well, you can add one big, strong guy. Great. Does that change your team? No, not at all.
Right.
And so you've already cast the die on what this team is going to look like. So if they're going to add a player, like if they're going to add a defenseman, I want somebody that can move the puck better. Yeah, it'd be great if he's got some size. Like, I wouldn't be, you know, I would be nervous about adding a smaller guy because they're not a very big team. But it doesn't have to be a great big guy either. Like, one great big guy doesn't make them all of a sudden a completely different team. It's the same team with a great big guy.
Yeah, I think you nailed it with the phrase, with the die is cast. And, you know, all of a sudden try to switch up right away, it's hard to do. You said something that really caught my attention earlier, a new set of eyes. You know, and from your experiences playing, Ray, like, you know, you get the same eyes on you that are focusing in on the negatives. How important is it for a player when he goes to a new spot to have that fresh, the team wants you, and now it's a real opportunity for the proverbial clean slate?
Well, you feel different. I mean, first of all, you're excited because everything's new and you're nervous and excited and you don't know the drills at practice and you don't know the weight of the rink and everything's new. It's fresh. And so then when you talk to the coach, he's excited. He's telling you about where you're going to fit and what he thinks you can do and how you can help their team. Because when you're back in the old place, you already know what they all think of you. You know, they've told you 100 times. You know what your shortcomings are because they keep talking about it, or it's been in the papers a number of times that you can read about and go, oh, yeah, they don't like my consistency. They don't. And it's not that, oh, gee, you can't overcome that. But now you get new people looking at you that look at you from the positive side of the slate, and they've just made a trade for you. They're going to put you in a position to succeed, where that time is probably gone in the old place. Now they're just, you know, look at Minnesota. They're moving pieces around. They're trying to find new lines and get these young guys in. But, oh, gee, we're not going to totally give up on the season. And you just get lost. Part of the problem with being a versatile player like Coyle is that you are versatile. They stick you on right wing. They stick you over on left wing. They put you in the middle. You're kind of like the guy without a home. And it gets hard to play like that. I think he lost his way a little bit there. To really nobody's fault, but just time. Sometimes it's time for a change. I really think the new look, the new outlook, he's going home. I think it matters. And I don't think Minnesota got burned on this trade, but that'll all depend on how Ryan Donato is able to, you know, to get himself untracked in his career, because he's just starting, and he's got a great shot. He's really quick, and we'll see if he can score, because they need him to be like a middle six forward. Mm-hmm. But Coyle's now playing with a really good team with high aspirations.
Well, sticking with this, the die has been cast theme that I don't think has been brought up enough, and I understand why. We're in the moment. The trade deadline is in front of us, so it's like, okay, what are we going to do here? What are the Leafs doing? What are these teams around them doing? But in terms of just, you know, the 12 calendar months, based on Game 7 in Boston last April when the Bruins beat the Leafs to Game 1 in April, the biggest addition was on July 1st. It's not going to be Charlie Coyle or Jake Muzzin. Even if Boston goes out and acquires Mark Stone, he's not John Tavares.
Or Panarin.
Yeah, or Panarin. It doesn't matter. Like, Tavares is the guy. Like, the Leafs made their move. But it just, because it was whatever it was, yep, 9 months ago or 7 or 8 months ago, we don't look at it that way.
Not even. No, of course not. And this, of course, is the last strike to be able to improve your team. This is it. And between now and Monday afternoon, it's whatever we got, that's what you got. Once that deadline rolls over, this is our team. And you're right, the acquisitions that have been made in July and August, it's like they don't even count anymore. But that is a difference, and it's a 33-goal difference right now for Tavares, right? Like, it's a big difference.
Big time. Yeah, big impact.
So we'll see. Like, if just because Boston's lost, or Toronto's lost to Boston multiple times in the playoffs, doesn't mean they're going to lose again. But they're going to have to be better in certain areas against the Bruins, where they always seem to get run over. And that's not about being bigger or stronger. That's about not folding when it gets tight, not imploding when the game gets away from the game that you want to play. But they've got more experience. They should be better set up for this. And we'll see if this is the team that they go in with, or if they make an addition or two, or if there's anything between now and Monday afternoon.
How do you feel about Nylander playing center tonight?
I like it. I mean, I think he's most exciting at center. I love watching him fly around. Now, that's his position, right? I mean, it's not like it's unfamiliar to him. I'm really curious to what it can be, and now this gives you a look at another option, and who knows what's going to happen now. You know, who knows how long Nazem Kadri is going to be out. What happens if one of the guys gets hurt between now and the end of the year? Well, now you're going to get a little run-up for what your center depth is, or of what you might be able to do with Nylander in the middle. So, I thought he played really well in St. Louis once he went in there, and of course that was around the time the team woke up from that first period slumber, and I thought he had a lot to do with it.
I think players, and obviously you're a former player, Ray, when you walk to the rink, there's a different vibe in the air. Have you kind of sensed anything different, kind of season changing? You know the playoffs are around the corner, or is it that going to be in a couple weeks? A
couple weeks still for that, but what I see is everybody's asking, you know, hey, what have you heard? What do you know? So, like, it's that time where everybody's looking for the next piece of information. Everybody's nervous that they might be the information.
Yeah. I think, Ray, in a cold weather city, I think when you put that, like, kind of spring jacket on, you're like, it's coming up. Like, the playoffs are around the corner, and that's a great feeling.
Yeah, when you can throw that overcoat into the back corner of the closet, I think everybody feels a little better, not just for hockey. And then you get here, and you're like, okay, it's close.
Yeah.
It's time now.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you're in Ottawa.
Or Kawhi.
Well, yeah, well, or you're Kawhi Leonard.
I'm in Ottawa tomorrow, and Columbus is there. And so, who knows who's playing tomorrow there? Like that.
Who knows who's playing tonight? They're in Jersey tonight. It sounds like Stone, DeZingle, and Duchesne will all not play.
Noodles is in net.
No, he still has to serve his suspension.
Oh, you're right.
He can't play yet.
Yeah, he's got four more to go. They should put him on the roster just so he can start knocking these things off.
Right. Well, they could have put him really in Chicago the other night. He couldn't have been any worse than the guys they put in there.
By the way, was that a piece of 1984 right there?
Oh, boy, wasn't it, Ray?
5-4 in the first.
Yeah, I was kind of tired. And I looked at the score. I'm like, okay, it's the third. It's going to be over soon. I saw first period. I literally went, no effing way. No way.
Well, both goalies didn't get, what, past the 11-minute mark of the first period? Both goalies were out.
And the other two were brutal as well when they came in.
Well, they might have left all four of them in there at the same time, and it might not have mattered.
No kidding.
But it's funny, isn't it? Like, Ottawa's got this whole thing gummed up right now with the three players, and once they make their first move, whatever it is, whenever it is, then I guess that's when the logjam breaks, and I hope it's not till Sunday afternoon.
It's a good point. Like, these guys are basically Manny Machado and Bryce Harper in a hockey form, you know, because the other teams are like, all right, can we get going here? Like, trade these guys, the number one center available in Duchesne, arguably the number one winger in Stone. It's either him or Panarin. And DeZingle's a sneaky guy, too. He's had a great year, can play. You know, he's a little bit further down the list, but there's only so many teams that are willing to acquire these guys.
Well, and then the other thing that happens, of course, is, you know, now you're sitting around waiting, and Pierre Dorion's trying to, you know, make as many calls as he can in Ottawa to try and find the best return for each of these guys. And then somebody says, to hell with it. I can't get left with nothing here. How about Eric Staal? And they call somewhere else and they make a deal, and now you're still stuck. So
right.
There is, man, this is the pressure time now. It's you wait, and don't wait too long, or else you're stuck with all your cards, and then you know, and then you've hurt yourself. And it's been a tough go here. Once they, you know, they're trying to sign Stone still. They tried to sign DeZingle. It's been pretty clear Duchesne wasn't going to sign. And so now that, you know, now it's crunch time. They got to make a decision. And really, they don't have that much time to do it.
Well, it's a good point you bring up. Like Ottawa, at least they have the luxury of knowing that they're brutal and they're not in a playoff position. Like, you, of course, if you don't sign them, you trade them. Minnesota was not, they didn't have that luxury. Now, they still made the choice to trade Coyle. It sounds like they're just
still in a playoff spot when they did that.
And they're right there. But, you know, a couple of those teams, like, that's got to be a tough spot. You know, if you're the GM in Colorado, Chicago, Vancouver, you're like, do we stick around and go for it? Or
mediocrity is the worst place in pro sports. It's like,
You're right, Jeff.
Do I want to make trades to add and then what? Just make the playoffs and then just get crushed in the first round? Yeah. Why do you want to do that
Float it past the owner, though. That's the problem.
Yeah, the owner might say, yeah, but those are a couple of home games.
Right.
And the other thing is, in those all those teams you mentioned, though, is most of them can be pretty comforted by nobody else is winning anyway.
It's so true. Somebody might back into the playoffs.
79 points and you're in the playoffs. Yeah, but we'll see.
Ray, do you think Eric Staal will be on the move?
I do. And the reason I do is it just seems like with the move made yesterday that it's more like, you know, the look of or the evaluation for Paul Fenton, the evaluation time is that, okay, it's time to look to change what we have here. And he's unrestricted at the end of the year. He had a big year last year and has had some struggles this year. He's not getting any younger. And I don't know. I think I would lean to yes, like 70-30. Yes, Staal goes.
Why not? If you're in for a penny, you might as well be in for a pound. Just unload everything.
What's your feeling?
It's not even just unloading everything. It's like it's time there, isn't
yeah,
it? Like
I agree.
You know, it's just it's they got to a certain level and they bumped their head up on the ceiling and that's as far as they can go. And so now it's time to try something else.
I agree with you, Ray. I mean, you can make the playoffs for the seventh straight year and put up a pennant that says seven consecutive years in the playoffs. It means nothing.
Yeah. You know, as wild as being in Vegas and they actually have a banner. Like they have a banner. Because they went to a cup final.
Western Conference champions.
Yeah, like that's a legitimate banner. You should have that banner. Is.
But oh, I thought you were saying they shouldn't have it up.
No, they should. No, absolutely they should. But yeah. That's my point. The building's a year old. Banner. They got a banner. It's a real banner. It should be. It's not a Bon Jovi banner like the ACC had for a couple
of years. Western Conference finalist?
Western champions. Conference champions. They went to a cup final.
Oh, you're talking about Vegas. I thought you were talking about Minnesota.
No, Golden Knights, Vegas. I'm just saying, because we were down there last week.
Sure, they were the Western Conference.
Yeah, yeah
sure.
I'm like, they have a legitimate banner in this building.
1 year, one banner.
It's like incredible.
Yeah, we had one of those in Atlanta. It said inaugural season.
Exactly. The Leafs got to put something up at some point. Hey, we made the playoffs again. 3 years in a row, a banner. If they lose to Boston, you got to brighten the spirits of people in Toronto. Why not?
I like your wording there. We made the playoffs again. That's what should be on the banner.
Yeah. Well, when you miss for 10 straight, it means something. It's a meaningful moment.
Back to back.
Back to back to back. All right, buddy. Enjoy it tonight. We'll catch you at TSN 4.
Okay. Talk to you tomorrow, guys.
There's Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst, joining us here in the Maple Toyota Hotline. It's the 2019 Toyota RAV4, the safest SUV. See for yourself at Maple Toyota and get rates from 0% MapleToyota.com. We're going to cold call our old friend Dwayne Casey. We haven't caught up with him in quite some time. Maybe closer to 6 p.m. We'll see. We're bothering him. You know, he's coming off his All-Star break. I believe Detroit is on their way down to Atlanta. But DeMar DeRozan is officially in town, and he's going to be on the court tomorrow night at Scotiabank. And Dwayne Casey knows him better than anybody, and he knows what it's like to be in that building and have a good team better than anybody. So we're going to catch up with Dwayne Casey a little bit later in the hour, maybe just after 6 p.m. Craig Button's in here, the O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill. I'm Brian Hayes. Overdrive continues on the TSN app. All right, Dwayne Casey expected to join us just after 6 p.m. ahead of DeMar DeRozan's return to Toronto tomorrow night. When Casey made his return, it was pretty emphatic. Remember the Pistons won late?
They were jumping all over the place.
Casey reacted like he had just won the biggest game of his career.
Wasn't that like a buzz? That was a buzzer beater, wasn't it?
Yeah,
right underneath the basket.
Well, and the Raps were up like 17.
Yeah, it was a toss-in play, game over.
Done. Off a timeout. Remember, Casey used to take so much heat about their set plays, and I think he was pretty happy that night.
Yeah, he was.
And the way it's shaping up right now, it could be Raptors-Pistons in the first round. And like if it were to go off tonight, it would be Raptors-Charlotte, but the Pistons are right there. Like they're a half game behind Charlotte, and the Raptors are only a game behind Milwaukee. So there's going to be some jockeying down the stretch. You could have Raptors-Pistons first round. I don't think anyone would want that matchup. Not that the Pistons are a great team. The Raptors should be able to sweep them, but just the Casey storyline.
The Casey effect.
The Casey effect. Not exactly what you want is your former coach coming in to play you, considering he would have the game tape. He'd have the book out on Kyle, specifically Kyle. He's seen Kyle in the playoffs, right? Like he knows what Kyle is capable of in the playoffs.
He's seen them all.
Right.
Except Kawhi.
Except for Kawhi. Well, and Kawhi had his presser about an hour ago, I think, over the past half an hour downtown, and because the Spurs media is up. So this is a big game for both teams, right? So the Spurs media has requested a podium for Kawhi, and he was on the podium, and he was asked, you know, does this feel like a bigger game than usual? Any idea how Kawhi would have answered that?
No.
You want to hear it?
I do want to hear it.
No, not to me. Another regular season game at the All-Star break. Obviously, want to come on and get a win.
That's about as subdued as you could possibly get.
I think it's almost, I find it like nobody with, like no athlete with that kind of ability and energy and like killer instinct could have more, like you can't talk like that.
He talks like every hockey player.
Yeah, but even a hockey player would say, you know what, just a regular, that's just, no.
That's how they all talk. Yeah, well, it's just another game, you know, just want to get a win. Yeah, give 110%, you know.
It's totally cliche.
Yeah, oh,
totally. It's not the truth. Like, obviously, yeah. It means more. How can it not?
I have a ton of respect for Drew Doughty. You know, it was a guy, Joffrey Lupo, when he was in Toronto, when he was in, he would give an answer other than, got to get pucks deep. Like, I had respect for the answers. It was like, he had something intelligent to say.
Jeff, one of my goals is do a broadcast 100% cliche one night. Just 100% cliche. Nothing but cliches the entire
Like
time.
Lindsey Hamilton. Craig, what'd you think of that game? Well, they got pucks in deep.
I'm even talking about doing the game. Like during on color. The game.
Like at
they're
a World
Junior
or something?
Oh, yeah. The pucks deep. Yeah.
Put that in the Hall of Fame.
110%. You know?
Thing is, Craig, if you did that, people would be like, man, this guy's he knows his stuff. This guy's
a real hockey guy.
Who is this guy? Is that Craig?
Oh yeah, they're gritty. How about the physicality out there?
Right, man.
I was at the Marlies game on Monday. They were playing Syracuse. I was just watching. I don't think there was one body check in the entire game. And we talk about it. And I see kids play at Bantam and Midget, and there's no hitting in the game anymore. So when Vince Dunn comes across and hits Nazem Kadri the other day, I think everybody on the planet should be surprised with a
shockwaves.
Hit like that.
Yeah, well, it kind of pissed me off, and I don't agree with this, but. If it's the going rate is the going rate, if you're one of your good players gets hit, nobody did anything.
But Jeff, nobody sees a hit anymore. Like it's like.
No, I know, but Craig, if that was the other way around and that was Tarasenko that got hit like that, somebody would have beat the hell out of whoever hit them. But
it's more about the team. Sorry, I was talking.
It's just that's the going. A big hit is automatic fight. Not with the Leafs. It was just like, I didn't see that. Turn my head.
Well, when you guys had Chaser on the other day talking about the fast pitch team.
That team.
Nobody threw inside.
Terrifying.
Guess not.
The Clarks, the Chases, Joey Kosher.
And Killer Kaminsky. You were talking about Killer Kaminsky. So Killer Kaminsky's first game was in the Montreal Forum. And I was working for Minnesota. Love Killer. He's just a great guy. Anyway.
Killer.
He runs Peter Sobota. I mean, Sobota does like two somersaults, right? You know, the circus was looking hit at him to come in and do trapeze act. I mean, that's how he went. He went right through him and just up he went right over ass over tea kettle. So now Killer's like feeling good about himself. So now
Killer's
know
got his
going.
Mojo.
Yeah, he's got his mojo. But Killer doesn't recognize that Sobota's pretty sharp cat out there, right? He comes running at him. Last minute, the stick just goes. Like, I don't know what he had, like 68 stitches, face blown up. It was unbelievable. Like,
I gave you the first one.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Next time you do it.
Not happening.
Yeah.
But that was Killer. He didn't recognize. He was just like, I'm coming right through you again, kid. No, you're not.
But see, I appreciate both sides of that story because I remember we all grew up the same way. Next time he hits you, just get your stick up and cross-check him right in the face. Now, you can't do that either. Like, you can't do anything. You can't hit. But if you do get hit, you can't send a message.
We were just talking about Brad McCrimmon, because you guys were with Kelly, and Brad McCrimmon, you know what he called the stick? That was security detail.
That's right.
Your stick was your security detail.
The great equalizer, too. Smaller guys, come. You want to try to throw me around? Go ahead, but I will stick you.
I went
to
crush Luke Robitaille. He was getting the puck, and wingers, you know, you have your head down, you're kind of looking at it coming up the boards, and I was like, I'm going to melt this guy right against the boards. All of a sudden, I just had an elbow right in my yip, and I was down and out. That's how you did business. It was like, okay, you can come over here, but this is what you're going to get.
Yeah.
For now, then on.
You didn't try to hit him again.
No. But every time, guess what I did when I had the puck? Just
elbow up.
Go ahead and eat that if you want it.
Absolutely. But now you can't do that either. Now reverse that. You know, you're getting suspended for that.
There's a good way. There's a way of doing it where you act like you don't know what you're doing. That's the bottom line. You can't, like Peter Forsberg, counter elbow the guy right in the face. You just got to act like you're just, and then just boom.
Disheveled mess. And, I can't believe that got you right in the right in the button.
You know what Brad would tell players? He said, listen, if you get your stick up and it goes through somebody's teeth or whatever, you just tell the league, listen, with all the concussions, I got to protect my career.
That's right. That's right.
And make it public, he said.
Well, after we had Chaser on, and you mentioned Killer Kaminsky, who I wasn't that familiar with. The name rings out. But I looked up on YouTube. I don't know where he played in the WHL. You may remember.
Saskatoon.
He must have played in a Memorial Cup. No, I know. But did they must have made it. And because there is a fight. He fights Ty Domi, and Domi's playing in Peterborough. And the clip, I just make this assumption. I don't know. But it looks as if, because it's panning back and forth, Kaminsky and Domi, and then it goes to the crowd, and it looks like GMs or scouts, and they're like taking notes. They're like, oh, interesting fight. Like, that's another thing that's totally changed. Like, you don't scout fights anymore. You never see fights.
That's
like,
right. It's not even a part of there's nothing to scout if there's nothing to see.
Right. But, Craig, I'm sure in the 80s you'd be like, well, hey, you'd send a note back, this guy can fight, and it means something.
Hamilton, 1990. It was in the fall of 1990, Hamilton. They had a big kid by the name of Alex Stoyanov.
I played with him in Guelph.
Yeah, well, he was playing in Hamilton. He got traded with you. He got traded over to Guelph, right?
No, I think Hamilton moved to Guelph.
Is that what happened? Oh, so there you go. So he did get traded. Anyway.
Literally.
And we're sitting there. There was Bob Clark, Dennis Patterson, myself, and Les Jackson. And it was a big-time tilt. Alex Stoyanov and Eric Lindros. And I'm telling you, I mean, Alex is a great guy, real good man, seventh overall. That fight never left anybody's mind.
Because Lindros did some damage or what?
Well, no, because he stood in there.
Stood right in there with him. Oh, yes. 2 6'4".
Oh, I see.
Like, big man. And so when you talk about great in the fight, right. I remember Bob Clark, the draft was in June of that year, and I remember Bob Clark, well, you know what? Those big guys, you get two big guys against each other, nobody moves, and that's Stoyanov. He loves Stoyanov.
Right. And it was all because he fought
Lindros. We were picking eighth.
Oh, really?
Yep.
So was that, Lindros went 91. Was Lindros 17 during the fight?
Yeah.
Oh, he was in, it was
the
same draft.
No, that was 91, same draft. It was 90, it was in the fall of 90 in the draft years. But yeah, that was a hell of a tilt.
Yeah, Stoji went 7 to Vancouver.
Fighting
then he got traded to Pitt for guess who? Marcus Naslin.
Oh, was he in that deal?
Yeah.
That one hurt.
One for one.
That one hurt for Pitt. That one stung for Pitt. Yeah. Yeah, it's just, it's a different era. That's the way
but
it works.
But that's what,
everything
you did.
Evolves,
you got up right on the edge of your seat.
Yeah. Well, and to your point, too, it said something that a guy would actually fight. Who cares who won the fight? It was that he actually dropped the gloves and took
playing,
on a guy like that.
He was playing
that.
A game as a kid. I'm pretty sure you were 16 when Bertuzzi and Harvey got into a hell of a tilt.
Oh, I've seen.
But you were playing, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, they just, they were so, they, like.
That was in their draft year.
I know it's because time passes, but when I played junior, I don't know if you think this, Brian, but it was like semi-pro. Like, everyone was bigger, and they had, like, they just seemed like men. Now when I watch a junior hockey game, and I don't know if it's just because I'm older, I'm like, these guys look like midget players out there. And I mean midget hockey players. Like, not. It just, they seem so young. I remember I was like, God, like Todd Bertuzzi, and just guys were skating around, and I was like, these look like, although they were only 17 and 18 years old, but.
Yeah, I'm sure, I'll guarantee it feels the same now, like for the kids, I would think. Although the sport has probably gotten a little bit smaller. There used to be bigger guys. Like,
maybe that's kind of it. Like the old guy that was just the bruisers and the fighting, maybe that made it seem kind of older.
Yeah, because like.
Lesser teams, I mean Peterborough. I mean, Peterborough, you're talking about Ty Domi. I mean, go back and look who played on those teams.
When I walked in, Karkner was on Peterborough.
Oh, there you go.
And Karkner was like, it was him and Peterborough.
That was Matt Karkner, right?
Yes, Matt Karkner.
Because his cousin Terry played back in the day.
Yeah,
right. I'm sure
I played against
tough
Terry.
As nails. Was he tough? Probably.
I don't remember him being that tough.
No, because Karkner was like a heavy.
Yeah, he was a big dude.
Yeah, and he was, I think he was an overager too. He was 19 or 20. There's a kid named Cloutier in Kingston who was he went second round in New
That's
Jersey
right, yeah.
just because he fought. He couldn't skate or anything, but he was a monster that fought. And every team had a heavyweight, and I doubt that happens. There's no heavyweights anymore in junior.
No, there's no hitting. You don't even need a heavyweight. There's no fighting. There's no hitting.
Yeah, which to your point, if you're 16 and you show up, you're like, here's a 20-year-old who just fights, and he's a monster and could kill people.
Yeah.
Every team had one.
You guys, training camp. Tryouts, exhibition games were just like, who's going to fight tonight?
Yeah. Oh, every single time. Yeah. And I could, even 10 years before me, it would have been even worse. 30 years before, it would have been insane.
Tryouts, I used to see fights with guys on their own colored inner squad team. Like, if you hit a veteran guy, a guy in your own team would come up and just beat the piss out of you. He said, don't touch my veteran player.
Right.
Which was just bizarre.
What, like, the hell,
imagine
was that?
You're in an inner squad game and you try to hit the opposition, and a guy on your own team grabs you and beats the hell out of you. It's not that fun.
No.
Wow. You're not expecting that, to say the least.
So I'll go back a little bit further. Mike Bossy was playing for Laval, and he was a great, great goal scorer, but their team wasn't great. And Trois-Rivières was really good. Michel Bergeron was the coach. So they went into Trois-Rivières to play, and my dad was running Central Scouting. So I was with him. I was a younger kid, and I was with him. So he said, I got to go down after the game and see Michel Bergeron. So I kind of went into the office, and they beat them. I don't know how many goals Bossy had, but this is what Michel Bergeron said. He goes, that Mike Bossy, I tell you, he could take the stick and hit him right on top of the head, and he still scores. Like, hit him right on his head, and I go, whoa.
Interesting.
It's a different world.
What are we doing up here in this part of the country? What is happening? Bill tweeting in that Killer Kaminsky, I guess, was in Fort Wayne in 1992. 455 penalty minutes.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no.
400.
No, dude, I'll never forget that guy till the day I die. 23 for the Washington Capitals. Yep. And he ran around like an animal and would crush people.
That's how he ran around like that from the time he was 16, yeah, playing junior hockey. Glenn Sawmore, we drafted him, and he was drafted by Minnesota. And Glenn Sawmore, the late Glenn Sawmore, loved him. And he just loved Killer Kaminsky.
Like, Killer.
He just loved him.
Right.
He lit up whenever he watched Kevin play.
Well, we were laughing about it off the air when we had Kelly Chase on earlier, and we were talking about Porcupine playing, and he was talking about that softball team with, like, Wendell Clark, his brother, Joey Kocher.
Well, there was Donnie Clark and Kerry Clark.
Exactly. And
Kocher, Chaser. Corey Kocher.
Yeah, exactly. Barry Melrose, Wilson. Killer Kaminsky. And we're like, there was probably a guy from the town who was just the farmer that was like, I'm not going to the NHL, that could beat the hell out of all of them. That they probably knew, like, yeah, we're tough as nails, but then there's the local guy who's never been out of Porcupine Plain, and we don't mess with that guy.
Well, he talked about the goalie. Kelly talked about the goalie.
Right.
But my favorite line is, we'll just send them back to Newfoundland in a lunchbox.
In a lunchbox. Send them west, and we'll send them home in a lunchbox. They're pretty sure of their toughness. Yeah,
it was a different world.
Different world.
A totally different world. I remember one night in the draft year, we went into Prince Albert. Peter Nedved was playing, and Terry Simpson was coaching. PA always had tough teams. And we're talking to Terry before the game, and he says, well, we'll see what the Nedved kid's made out of. We'll see if he can get out of this tiny little rink alive tonight.
Right. But wasn't that the Mike Modano challenge, too? The American coming up, yeah, playing out west? Like, could he do it? And he did,
obviously.
Well,
I mean, he did. I mean, nobody could touch Modano.
Right.
He couldn't catch him.
But he had some tough guys on his team, too.
Oh, yeah,
like,
for
protecting
sure.
Protecting him just in case.
No, PA had they understood you needed skill, but they had the toughness.
I love those stories, man. The old, it's just, the WHL is on a completely
Well, you do
different
know
level.
They used to have two separate warm-ups, right?
Yeah, right.
They would not be, they
because
weren't
of the
allowed
brawls,
to warm-up.
The pre-game warm-up.
Full-blown brawls.
So they had, so the two teams would the visiting team would warm up first, and then the home team would come out, and then they'd play the game.
Well, who was doing that recently in the NHL? There was a bit of a, I can't remember who it was. It just happened recently in a warm-up where someone was kind of hacking away on a guy on the other team. Nothing happened. It didn't lead to a fight. We'll look it up. We'll find out.
I know who it was. It was Bogosian from Buffalo.
It was Bogosian, exactly.
And he was chopping some guy in warm-up.
Someone from Florida, I think.
Yeah,
and he was chopping. But, like, 20 years ago, it was just a full-blown
mind brawl, like 20 guys fighting.
Think about Philadelphia and Montreal in the playoffs that year. Guys coming on the ice in their feet, like,
right.
I'm pretty sure Pooley was on that.
Bob Gainey was on that team.
Yeah.
And
think about it.
Well, because that started because was it Claude Lemieux who shot the puck in the net?
Well, they were about who was going to shoot the puck in the net last.
Right. And Shane Corson, I think, was on the ice.
Oh, yeah.
And then the guys are coming back
Ed
onto
Hospiter,
the ice.
Ed Hospiter, Chico Rush. I think it was Ed Hospiter who came out in his flip flops.
Right. Yeah, that was in like deep into the playoffs too. I think
wasn't his nickname Boxcar?
Yeah.
Outstanding. Yeah, it was Bogosian and Curtis Gabriel in warm-up a couple of nights ago. Anyway, Dwayne Casey will join us in about 15 minutes. We're going to get into GSP retiring as well and his legacy in not only UFC, MMA, but Canadian sports history. We'll get to that in the next hour. Leafs in action tonight. We're teeing that up as well. You can watch the game on TSN 4. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050.
we just become best friends?
Yep.
Is this friendship? I think so.
Overdrive proudly presents the greatest romances of all time.
We're really doing it though, aren't we, buddy?
Yeah, I love you, dude.
I love you, bro, Montana.
Just shut up. You had me at hello.
You know you'll always be the only man I'll ever love.
All right, so we know the Spurs are in town, and they're at Scotiabank tomorrow night, and that means DeMar and Kyle will be reuniting at Scotiabank Arena, and the game is tomorrow night. We're giving away tickets here momentarily. Over the past five shows, we have been announcing our all-time favorite bromances, and the first one to call in and name all five, once we give you the cue to call, we'll be sitting lower bowl to see the game tomorrow night, Raptors-Spurs. The hottest ticket in town. I mean, people have been anticipating this game ever since the trade, and it goes down tomorrow night. So the final bromance, today's bromance, I did not come up with this. I don't even agree with it necessarily, but because we're very self-deprecating on this program, and it's going to be awkward because this guy's coming up in 10 minutes, the final bromance, Hazy B and Dwayne Casey.
That's a good point, Brian.
Hazy B and Dwayne Casey.
Hey, B, how you doing, buddy?
So that's going to be live in about 10 minutes. Dwayne Casey will be joining us. Phone lines are open, 416-870-1050. 416-870-1050. First one in to name all five bromances that we've been handing out. Dating back to Friday in Vegas, you're going to see the game tomorrow night. We'll get back into what happened in that Duke-UNC game last night. Zion Williamson blowing out a shoe and maybe a knee, and maybe that's the end of the run for him. At Duke. That could be it. Should he return to play in the tournament if he's capable of playing? We'll discuss that. We'll get into GSP retiring officially earlier this morning. And Dwayne Casey will join us as well. Overdrive continues on the TSN app.
You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 2. Brought to you in part by Alpine Credits. Own your home and need a loan? With Alpine Credits, homeowners get approved.